Ladies, Chayvus Halvavus, here Wednesday afternoon. We're going to start with Perikei from Shai Yichla Maisa, and we're going to start from the Pitui Hayetzer, which stops the philosophical nonsense and gets down to business. Hey, 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 give me Olam Hazeh. We'll be starting in around 2 minutes. Okay. I'm a little early because we have to find the place. We have to dust the cobwebs off of Shari Yichud HaMaisa. So Shari Yichud HaMaisa, and we're in Perikei, and in Perikei he talks about the different, call it enticements, or persuasions of the Yetzer Hara. Why do I use those two words? Because the first couple of paragraphs, and this has to do with Shai Yichud HaMaisa, just to bring everybody back to Shai Yichud HaMaisa started off the first few prokim talking about subtleties, really. Not really subtleties in the world of Mechavis Haldovas, but to us, they're subtleties, and how to focus on the motivation of, we didn't really start yet, it's not 12:15. The motivation of our Maisim should be only Hashem, and not social pressures, not what someone will think of us, and so we don't realize how many of the things we do because of where we live and our neighbors and etc. We don't realize it till maybe one day we're alone. Right? When people go, I know in America, maybe here also, here I'm not so familiar, they go to the country, and then, you know, people act differently in the country, whether it's sneers for women or men in terms of their learning or in terms of their davening. It's like, you know, they're in a different milieu, and everybody, like, so they, you see how you daven, I mean, a man, let's say, you daven Shmoneh Esrei in shul, and then he has to be home, he's ill, he daven's a different kind of Shmoneh Esrei, usually. Anyway, so, but then in Perikei, he stops being subtle, and he becomes very down to earth, very, very not subtle, almost gross. And he says, because it's all the Yetzer Hara. That's his point. It's all, either there's Hashem, and that's why you do things, and you're serving Him, and that's your purpose, and that's your goal. And if not, you're already leaving room for other cheshbonos, and once you're in the world of other cheshbonos, so who knows what that could lead to. So Perikei and Shai Yichud HaMaisa is devoted to the Yetzer Hara. And he talks about the Yetzer Hara. And in the beginning he gives a hakdama. You may remember his introduction is how wily the Yetzer Hara is and how the Yetzer Hara doesn't get tired, and the Yetzer Hara is us. It's not an outside power. And so on and so forth. And then he says, I am going to list for you, and he makes a list. And he writes a paragraph or two or three about what the Yetzer Hara will try to do and how you should deal with it. How do you deal with if the HR does that? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. We're finished the first couple, I mean more than the first whatever it is, 5, 6, 7, 8, dealt with ideological dealt with philosophical aspects of Yiddishkeit, Hashem, Hashem Echad. What's the purpose of serving Him? He doesn't need our service. What kind of schar va'onish is there? Tzadik v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo. I don't know what this Olam Haba business. I never saw it. I never smelt it. I didn't see any brochures about it. For all I don't know this Olam Haba. What's this bill of goods you're trying to sell me? What does Hashem care if I do something a minute later or a minute before? And so on and so forth. And he deals with that. We are starting now, we're actually in the middle, but I'm, you know, like a car, you know, it runs out, and you back up, and you get, you go. We're starting now, the rest of the perek really deals with more practical, down-to-earth life. What's remarkable, so we're up to that paragraph where his first thing is, and this is, it starts with V'chasher Yisya'ish HaYetzer Misapek, from making us be in doubt, Osanu, Mikol Ma Shekodam Zichro, from everything that we've mentioned till now, Yishtadel La'atzel Osanu B'maisa HaAvoda V'yatvidenu B'inyonu Olomenu. And this, his point is in this next paragraph, that he gets us busy with Olam HaZeh. People are busy. Men are busy in the way they're busy. Women are busy in the way they're busy. If one learns Chovos HaLevavos, and especially if one comes to these wonderful classes, you realize how easy it is. It really is easy to take your whole life. If you're living, let's say, a normal life, you don't do especially bad stuff. You take everything and you just turn it around, and you're saying, like a man goes to work, for example. So, you know, he goes to work. So he says, okay, I'm going to work because this is what Hashem wants me to do. I have to earn, I have a responsibility, I have to support my family, etc., etc. A woman spends her whole time in maybe what seems to be mundane things, or not whole time, but a lot of her time. So it's so easy to turn it around. But then again, I'm jumping ahead and saying maybe how to deal with it, but he's talking about it's so easy to get involved in Olam HaZeh. It's so easy to be involved in what kind of house you have, and you know, with comparing yourself to other people and how other people look at you, and you get involved. People, he's talking now to men more maybe, because there's always Torah lurking in the background. You develop hobbies. You want to be involved in Olam HaZeh. You want to be looked at as a scholarly person, a man of the world, a man of letters, a man that's sophisticated. And a woman has her Yetzirah. I don't like talking to women about these things so much because I don't know the world of women that much. I think all women are tzaddikim. I don't know. I don't know. Do you people have Yetziraras? I don't know. What, either you go shopping, yeah, I don't know, my wife goes shopping, she goes shopping for me, she doesn't go shopping for clothing, I don't know. Anyway, you get in, but it's a nekuda. He's saying the Yetzihara is going to make you busy with Olam HaZeh, and if we all experience this, because we look back sometimes after a period of a few weeks or months or sometimes once a year, and say, what did I accomplish in terms of Avodas Hashem this year? Because we're busy, and the Torah makes us busy with Olam HaZeh, and he goes on to list, and it's almost like a comedy play. He lists the way people get involved in Olam HaZeh. Sometimes they get involved in the sophistication of it, and sometimes they get involved in the pure pleasures of it because they enjoy it. Sometimes it's just easy and they're lazy, and Avodas Hashem is hard and it takes mental effort, and you have to, and you just want to take the easy way out, and he makes sure that you're busy, and he makes you busy, and if you're not busy with that, I say, you know, I always talk to the men about coming to learn, and they're all busy. Everybody's always busy, but we all know that when something comes up that's important to you, you drop all these things and you put them in their proper place, and you say, well, this is more important than other things I'm involved in, and then that's what you get involved in, what's important to you. And how many people can we, you know, the Chovos HaLevavos is saying very starkly that, you know, how many people are able to say, I'm devoting my career, that's what Avigdor Miller Zatzal used to always call it, my career in life is to be Oved Hashem and to be involved. And that's what I'm focused on, and that's where I want to get promoted, and that's where I want to do better and better. And that's what I have to work on. It doesn't, if you're uncomfortable with the word Hashem, which you shouldn't be, but you could talk about character development, midos. You know, I'm going to make a list, let's say anger, jealousy, resentment. Okay, that should last like a lifetime. Okay. I'm going to work on those things. Like, we don't think that way. We have a vad by the men. We have Reb Dolinsky, comes from Matuzdorf. He was the Talmud of Reb Avigdor Miller. And he has workshops. He makes, like, it's called Vaadim. And he gives, like, exercises. Pu'ulot, he calls it. And Reb Avigdor Miller used to do this. It was very, very under the radar. You don't find it. He gave Vaadim with Pu'ulot. And he says, the exercise for the week, you know, write down, you know, these kind of things. And you have to do that. And you have to grow and refine your midos and think about things. And the Yetzirah, you know, no, I'm busy. I got to do this. I got to do that. And it's really things you have to do, sort of. But he makes sure that you don't have time for other things. That's his first. And it's like, that's his first paragraph. He gets you, you're involved in Olam Hazeh. This is what you see, this is what you feel, this is what you sense. And you're not involved in Avodas Hashem. And remember, he's talking about, this is what's remarkable. He's talking about people who have withstood the Yetzirah in all of the philosophical persuasions, I'm calling the first part persuasions, and these I'm calling enticements. It's just words, just to be mechalic and to draw a line. He's talking about someone that has emerged unscathed, has emerged from, is Hashem really there, and is there an onesh, and is there really olam haba, and is this really important, and how important is it? And the right, if you remember in the beginning of the fifth perek, he said, don't shove anything under the rug. When you have a question, ask it and ask for answers. Don't push it out of your mind. It's just going to come back. It's going to gnaw at you. And, you know, it's like termites. You know, they gnaw at you at the wood. And then one day you find out that the foundation is not good because the termites have been gnawing at it. And again, this is the Chavis HaLavus almost unique approach. He says, you have a question, get it out there, resolve it, confront it, take it, demand an answer. The answers are there. We know they're there. We know it's what's true and what's not true. So don't just repress the question and just sort of swim with it. It's not good. It's not healthy. It's not intellectually healthy. And it's not healthy. So my point in that, that was just a segue. So he's dealing with someone that has already resolved like the 13 Ikrim, and he's Hashem, and he resolved that. And now, you know, and this is, it's not nice to say, that, like, this is most from people. The truth is, it's not most from people, unfortunately. Because most from people have not worked out the first 10 paragraphs. We'll call it 10. I don't remember how many there were. Let's call it 10. There were 10 paragraphs of most people have not worked it out. They're happy to just, you know, okay. But just total involvement in Olam Hazeh. You know, I'm involved in things. So let's learn it inside, and he'll describe to us our day. For making us doubt what we have mentioned till now. That means we're dealing with a ma'amin, a person that's fully ma'amin. Yishtadel, he will try. La'atzel osanu b'maisa ha'avoda. La'atzel means lazy. It means that's not the focus of my life. That's not what I'm... I'll do it. You know, I'll do it if I have to do it. You know, what time is it? It's time to daven. You know, again, I can't talk to women. Women have a whole different life. No, you have a different life. But I'm talking to a man, like, okay, it's time to go daven. So I'll go daven because it's time to daven. How many men can say that I am eagerly anticipating talking to Hashem? I can't wait because I have things on my mind and I have things going on in my life, and I'm waiting to talk to Hashem. They're waiting to talk to their boss. They're waiting to talk to the grocery man that he maybe made a mistake on the bill. They're waiting to talk to their business partner, but then I'm waiting to talk to Hashem. And I didn't daven so good today. He'll come home and he'll say, I made a mistake at work today. I'm a little afraid the boss is going to catch it. But how many people say, I really didn't talk nicely to that person. That's bad. I really have to work on myself. I was a little abrupt. I didn't give him space. You have to be, that's Avodas Hashem. Right? Character development is Avodas Hashem. Don't ever think it's not. It's primary Avodas Hashem, according to many Bali Musar. The Gra amongst them, he wasn't a Bal Musar, but the Gra especially focused on character development as being a person's life's goal and life's work, as character development, being Mesaken one's Midos. And we're busy, and I'm laughing, I'm like old already. And I remember when they talked about computers and it would be a paperless office, and it would or even for women. I won't say I remember when the washing machine was invented, but I grew up in the 60s, and the 50s was like when in America, it was after World War II, and that's when there was this explosion of washing machines and even dishwashers, and dryers and microwaves. And it was all supposed to give everybody a lot more time. Because laundry, you want to know why laundry is also the 9 days or a chalamoid. I'm not saying chas v'shalom, I'm not changing any dinim, but laundry was a whole geschäft. It was packing to go to the mountains. the laundry. You had to go down to the river and you had to soak the clothing. I won't say in what, but that's what they used for. I'll tell you what they used. You don't want to know what they used to use for detergent. The Gemara says it very clearly what they used to use for detergent. I don't know in later years if they still use that. But it's not the thing you usually associate with cleanliness. As everybody said, I'm going to have so much time now. Washing machines, dryers, paperless office. Wow. And it's horror doesn't let. All of a sudden you're twice as busy, three times as busy. And it's even a little, because it's a horror, but it's even, and you think it's true, because I say, in the olden days, if someone was making a bris, and it was more than 10 minutes away, so I didn't go. And now you have a car. What's the problem? I'm expected to go to a bris that's an hour away. An hour there, an hour back, and I have to attend the bris. Why? Because there's this great invention called a car that's going to save me so much time. Just chopped 3 hours out of my day, thanks to my wonderful car. And then Baruch Hashem and Eretz Yisrael, I didn't get a car. I am enjoying still. I'm still having the thrill of not having a car. In America, I had two cars, one by me and one by the mechanic. And here I am, Baruch Hashem. My main pleasure is Pesach time when I don't have to clean the car. It's okay. When I left Muncie, people were going with their Polish maids to the wash, to the car wash, with the vacuum cleaners, and the Polish goyetas were sitting there vacuuming the car, and they were reading the paper and just feeding quarters into the machine. That's what it comes to that. Anyway, we got busier, and there's no, if you're involved in Olam Hazeh, you're involved in Olam Hazeh. And that's the first line of attack of the Yetzer Hara. After he's finished with the philosophical arguments, etc., now we're down to earth. And in down to earth, his first thing is, what are you busy with? What's the focus of your day? What are your goals? What do you look forward to? People have hobbies, people... And he says something very interesting, which I'm going to say. He says, he says, people get involved in culinary, they become, gourmet eating. He says, because that's the Yetzirah, it's like, it's so easy, because everybody has to eat. So he already has one foot in the door, because you're eating. So once you're eating, you want to eat well. I don't mean healthy, chas v'shalom, you're mechuyev to eat healthy. But I don't want to, I'm probably like stepping on some toes here. Please forgive me. I want to go out to eat. I want to have a dining experience. That's what he says. On a dining experience, I want to, you know, you buy cookbooks and you want. You're involved in food, he says. That's the first thing, because, and that's where the Yetzer Hara will get you used to Mosros. This is what he says. Take it or don't take it. This is where he will get you used to luxuries. There's what you need and what you want. That's life. Now, I'm not saying. I will be the first to say that, well, what you need can be subjective, right? Nobody's going back to the days when they lived in one room with eight kids and they did their cooking out in the yard and they went down to the river to do the laundry. Like, no one's going back to that. Yes, we need air conditioning, especially if you live in a Matbeh Jewish. That's a need. It used to be a want. I mean, in the whole Israel, air conditioning was a luxury. It was something that was gishmak. But over the years, and this is already reality. I won't even call it Yetzer Hara. I don't know. You know, now we need more money for so many more things because we must have this and we must have that and we must have that. So to the people that are born after it became we must have, so they're already, they have a problem. They must have. I mean, how much I grew up in that inflationary era where people, where consumers, just so many more goods were available post-World War II, and people wanted it, and the advertising industry exploded and enticed you. You what do you think advertising is? Advertising makes you want something you don't need, or else you don't need advertising. The whole advertising industry is to make you want what you don't need. Okay, part of it is that you should buy their washing machine over the other one's washing machine. Okay, that's certainly part of it. But I think most of it is to make you want what you don't need. So it's always the next model, and you have an archaic, iPad, iPod, you can't keep up. I mean, anyway, so he says, this is a very fascinating thought. The easiest thing that the Yetzer Hara gets his foot in the door is by food, because you have to eat. So he's already there. And I would say clothing, right? Everybody needs clothing to wear. But you know, I have my father's second wife, my mother was Nifta, my father's second wife, she used to always she was rich. In Europe she was rich. She had three dresses, not two. Everybody else had two dresses, one for weekdays, one for Shabbos. She had three. She was rich. She had one for weekday, one for Shabbos, one for Yom Tov. And now, I don't know how to be Magdir now. Do we need seven rooms? Do we need, but some people live that each child needs their own room. Well, I wouldn't think of having two children to a room, and you need a playroom, and you need a guest room, and you need a boudoir. I don't know, what do they call these things that you need? I'm not here to say what is a need and what is not. And also, everybody's different. And some people taka need some things. But the idea of Mosros is, I think Mosros means luxuries. And luxuries means whatever you don't need. That is, according to the Chavis Halvavis, throughout the Sefer, a very Yetzer Hara Dikah concept, a very Olam Hazeh concept. We should not be wasting time with things that we don't need. Olam Hazeh is temporary. We are not here for that long. And we are here to earn our brownie points for an eternal world. And if you believe that, then... And he dealt with the belief in the previous paragraphs, right? Now he's dealing with that. You believe that, but believing it is not enough. The Yetzer Hara will make you think that you really need this. You'll see what the neighbor has. Your kids will nag you. Your spouse will nag you. It's taka gishmak to have. And all of a sudden, you're caught up in this world. And you're looking to improve. You're looking to improve your kitchen. A man's looking to improve his internet speed. And how many people look to improve their midos as a daily living part of their life? How can I serve Hashem better? What can I do? And that's what life, so that's what he says. The Yetzer makes us involved in machal, food, mishneh, drink, malbush, clothing, merkav, in the Chavis, although this is time, merkav meant a wagon and three horses. Now it's a car, two cars, SUV, v'lehonos, b'mini hanos, agufios, pleasures, gishmak, things that are pleasurable. This is where he says it. When we listen to him when it comes to food, because that's the easiest, you need food, he will entice us, he will make us desire things that we don't need, there are people, again, you have to just listen to what I say. I don't mean anybody. But maybe it does fit. You have to eat out, and people go to every simcha that there is, and they blame it on social obligations. But again, this is what, and their lives are made up of enjoying life. That's what he's saying. You end up, you look back over your life. Even you could do this even from a not religious perspective, and a person could look back over their whole lives and say, I should have spent more time developing relationships and having more meaningful relationships and doing something more worthwhile. And I look back on my life and I really wasted it. I wasted my life with being involved in my life and enjoying life, and it's so ephemeral. It's so temporary, and it's nothing. How long does any hana'a last? Any pleasure you have in life lasts a few seconds, except air conditioning. People, okay, he's talking about nobility. And the Chavis Halvodis' days, right, he lived before the Middle Ages. He lived like, I don't know what they call it, the Dark Ages. I don't know when he lived. He lived in the beginning of the 19th century, he lived. Well, so there's a few hundred years before that. So there was a very nobility, and people looked up to the nobility, and they wanted to be like them. Nowadays, maybe we look up to politicians or to rich people, and we want to be like them, and we want to be their friends, and we want to hang around them, and we want to be part of their entourage, and we want them to like us. And we copy them, and people see styles, and he's wearing this kind of thing, so I'm going to wear that kind of thing. In his days, it was besorim in nobility, uba'anche avodosan. They used to have a whole, we don't have this kind of stuff. We have, maybe if you live in a fancy apartment building in Manhattan, they have a doorman still who's wearing a uniform, and he's all spiffied up. But anche avodosan was someone they used to look up to. Like the livery, what do you call these words? They used to... Yeah, they used to have all these. If you ever watch Upstairs, Downstairs, all these English, they used to have. Not that I know what that means, but lihidamos aleihem, and you want to be like them. And who do you look up to? And who do you copy? I mean, they sell cars by having a pretty girl standing next to it, and they sell best breakfast cereal by having a sports figure stand next to it. I mean, they still do that, and people. They won't admit it because it sounds so silly and stupid and childish, but if someone's spending millions and millions of dollars on an ad and they're paying some reprehensible sports figure to say, I eat this for breakfast, obviously it works.
V'linog min hogam v'lelechas b'chukeyim b'bakoshas hatanugim. This is what they...
Because everything... Look, my son just moved to America. It's not just already, it's over a year. And he knew when he went, and life has confirmed it. He went because he went. He went for good reasons, I hope, and we hope it turns out good. But he knew when he went, he says, and Baruch Hashem, Eretz Yisrael is not yet there, or not in the circles that I'm familiar with. He says, you just need so much money. And everybody's shopping a whole day, and everybody's buying things, and I don't know what. And the store, and he says, "I know I'm going to need to. You know, my wife's going to want to buy my children clothing, and she's not going to want to send the children to school. You know, she's not. You know, what I can do, because once you're in a certain mode and a certain standard, and everything's so expensive, so you end up spending your life." Earning money because you got to spend the money because you're just buying. Everything's always you're like buying things. He knew he's getting into that, and you know we discussed how to avoid it to some degree at least, and you know it should be a topic of discussion. And once he has us, do you have? And I have it in parentheses. Yaskir lanu es piskam hamishorer. Is anybody following in the text?
Yeah.
Because he who lived in the world, the Moors, like Arabs, the society was very poetry was very important to them, and speech and poetry and having those kind of things. Well, that was the society he lived in. The Yomar. Do you have this Shanes Mosnecha, gird your loins, chasov zroecha, ish hanifteh? He tells you, yeah, you're nifteh, you're wasting your time in a Chavis Halvavah's class. What do you gain out of it? I'm not saying that, Chavis Halvavah's saying that. That's what the Yetzer is calling you. What are you wasting your time for with these Narachim? What are you going to gain out of it? Go shopping, go do something with your day, go look at the catalogs, go... V'ishtagel b'kochacho ha-gever ha-musos, the man who is enticed. V'avot ha-olam, you know, get out in the world and be choshev in the eyes of the world. Learning Chavis Halvavahs will not gain you any respect in the eyes of the world. So you want to get a degree. Ulay tagia. So now I'm going to get it for being against degrees. Okay, anything you do that's not Torah, a man, I'm saying again, should be for parnasa, and he has a responsibility to earn a parnasa. And we too quickly say, "Oh, I have to do this in order to earn a parnasa," and at least half the time it's not true. But it's the Yetzer Hara, and women have their things that they get involved in, and it's easy to excuse it away. But it's the Yetzer Hara wants you to be involved in this world. That's the point. Ulay tagia l'ktsas mechetzcha bo. Come on, you gotta. You know, they blame poor Rav Shamshon Afal Hirsch. You want to take a trip to the Switzerland to see the Alps? Val des Nebuch. I don't know if he's. He probably never said it. What are you wasting your time in Olam Haba things? No one ever heard of Olam Haba. Yeah, if it helps you get ahead, you want to be in the social circles where if you're from, that's tachlis. Because then, if you're not living in a democracy, it's very important that you should be looked upon with favor by the ruling people. The al tatrid libcha b'dover min achokmos elamasha tiskabed boetzalanche dorcha. Don't study things that, you know, for parnasa's sake. Study things that will give you kavod, that will, you know, make you an educated person. People will look up to you as an educated person. The disratzabol gedolei b'nei zmancha misar v'shoter. These are the kotzin u'bal maila k'chokmas haloshem. Learn how to speak well with proper diction.
V'tochen hamishkol, this has to do with music, I think. V'shorashay hadiktuk. V'hashir, v'hachidos, hachamudos, poetry, v'hamisholim, hamufloim, the stories, fiction, you know, New York Review of Books, v'hamalitzos, hanochrios, v'tasmid l'shevis v'manshe hatzachus, v'lomad l'daberim kolkat mikitos b'nei odom, learn how to speak with everybody. It doesn't mean it from a good perspective that you should be rotsui on every kind of a person. He means it that that's what you should busy yourself with to make sure that everybody looks up to you and everybody respects you, and you have to know a little about everything, and you have to know about this discipline and that discipline. Not that it's any purpose for you, but you want to be able to converse with all kinds of people, so you have to know a little about everything. That's called Wikipedia. Ba'al tishtok. Ba'al tishtok, and don't sit there like, you know, you have nothing to say when people are talking about attacking Iran, and they're talking about Obama and this, and you have nothing to say. What do you, come on, get into it, study it, learn it, have an opinion about it. You don't want to make yourself sound foolish. Leave over all those other things that don't give you any kavod. The trick is not to let him get a foot in the door, to be mistapek b'muat, to be satisfied with what we need. And again, I'm very aware that the word need can be subjective, and it is subjective. But if we would hold to the words, I'll grant you the subjectivity, so then what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do with the rest of my life? We'll spend it on... We're all guilty of this to a degree. You know, people don't feel fulfilled by working on themselves in Ruchnius. It's rare, because nobody knows they're doing it, and they don't get a thank you from anybody, and they don't get a pat on the back, and... You know, and what do they gain? Like, they don't see the gain of it, and then it's hard. It's not easy, but there might be tricks to all these things I just said. Maybe if you have a chevrusa, you have like a partner, so you encourage each other, so you could each give each other chizuk. That people have that. They have partners. They talk about yesterday this happened, and I didn't get angry, but I wanted to get angry, and you know, and they talk and they have partners. And it's just like an eitzah to feel, you know, you need that encouragement. And you need to feel that it's important. And the joke is, and this is what the eitzah is trying to do here out of this whole talk, is that that's vitally important because we're talking about eternity. Talking about eternity. How much time do you spend here in your social station with your friends, with whatever we accomplish, you know, it's a fleeting, it's a joke. We're going to say soon on Rosh Hashanah, you know, Kitzitz Novel, Kitzel Over, Ke'onon Poreach, L'chachalom Ya'uf, and everybody's going to close their eyes and scream, Yato Melech Achai V'Kayom. What time is it? I'm hungry already. When are they blowing shofar already? Lisnaig b'mosorim b'lurdof achreihim. When we were kids, so we knew how many pages in the Machzor, and we knew what page, you know, frees us from shul already. Uneshivehu, and we have to be tough with the Yetzahara. Ki hamosrim ein tzorech aleihem. I have no need for extraneous things. They don't really add to my life. I mean, they add to my life. Again, you lose more than you gain. They add pleasure to your life. The pleasure lasts a few seconds most of the time, overwhelming majority of the time. If you think of food, or you think of kavod, is only in the mind. You think you're having kavod, then people are making fun of you. So in your mind, you're not even having kavod, you're having the opposite. And food is a few seconds, and most pleasures are a few seconds.
most pleasures are either a few seconds or it's in your mind, and it's just in the mind. You know, you feel good, but it's not real. So he says you have to be tough and tell the Yetzirah, Ein Tzorech Aleihem, I don't need it. What we have to do for parnasa and to earn money, which we do have to do, it's one of the obligations Hashem put on us. Maybe it's Adam Arishon's fault, but the bottom line is we do have to work to earn money and to earn a living and to earn parnasa. So that's what we have to do. Mitirdus nafshosenu bohem dai, but only what we need. So a person should really be making a cheshbon of what he needs. Sometimes, there are wealthy people. Not every wealthy person is a bad person. Hashem grants wealth. There is such a thing called a wealthy person. In Shar Abitachon, he talked about this at length, and he talked about Hishtadlus, and those who remember, he said Hishtadlus to become rich is a total waste of time. Our responsibility of Hishtadlus is to earn the money that we need. Again, it's subjective, you know, but you have to be honest with yourself. And after that, Hashem will decide if he'll send you a bracha and you'll be wealthy and have more than you need, or he won't. And it doesn't depend on your hishtadlus. So you're just wasting your time spinning your wheels for no reason. That's a chavis alvavus ashita. And he says it here sort of in a backhanded way. He says, what I do for my parnoso, for what I need, is die. Many people do end up, and this is just true, you know, many people end up busying themselves almost all of the day, just struggling to make ends meet. And that's not enough to say make ends meet, it depends what their ends are. But let's say their ends are things they need, not luxuries, not things they want, but things they need. And they still struggle the whole day. So there's a very good trick. The trick is to turn around and make it into Avodas Hashem. It's not that hard. You say, I'm doing this because Hashem wants me to do it, and I'm fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. So now you've snatched it away from the Yetzirah, right? He says that's how the Yetzirah has a foot in the door, because he takes your involvement in Olam Hazeh to the degree which you need to, and he pushes and pushes and pushes, and while you're struggling your whole life, and you deserve a break, and don't take life so seriously, and you have to entertain, you have to go out for entertainment, and you have to this and that. She says the trick is to think of, he doesn't say it explicitly, I'm explaining it that way, that take what you're doing because you need to do it, and there's no getting around it, not because there's no getting around it, there's no such thing in Yiddishkeit, because that's what Hashem wants us to do, because Hashem wants us to do that, and snatch it away from the Yetzer Hara. Say, I'm doing this as a mitzvah. I'm doing this because it's the Ratzon Hashem. I'm doing this as a holy deed because I'm fulfilling the will of Hashem. And now you've transformed your whole life into one of service to Hashem. This is, if a person finds themselves in that situation, so that's what they should do. So not to give the Yetzer Hara a foot in the door. And we say, you know, if Hashem gives us wealth, we'll spend it the way we should. How a wealthy person should spend their money, I'm not going to say. It's, you know, certainly you should give more tzedakah and do more good things with their money. Whether the rich man should allow himself a standard of living more than things he needs is a question. It's certainly not also for him too, and he's running a danger if he does. But if Hashem grants a person wealth, you know, and he wants to fly first class, he wants to buy a luxurious automobile, it's a question. You know, should he be doing that with his money? That's a question. It's a major issue. It's not something, you know, that to just bat out an answer. There is no simple answer. We're talking now, We're talking now if Hashem grants you wealth and you didn't like involve yourself in Olam Hazeh to do it, so it's Hashem granted and you see it that way and you didn't like take on a second job or work overtime and, you know, to save your money so that you could be wealthy, you didn't, then that's wrong. But if you did it in a kosher way and Hashem granted you wealth, there are wealthy people, Hashem decrees before a person's born will be wealthy or poor. So if you're wealthy, what should you do with your money is a very, very difficult question to answer. I mean, that you need a rug, you have to sit down, go over your life, see what your goals are, see what you... Sometimes it's good. If you're comfortable, you can do more mitzvahs. You could... sometimes, you know, it depends, right? We're not going to answer that now, but that is, he says it's not an avera to have luxuries if you don't spend your time on it. That's the point of the chavis that we're learning. If you don't focus on it, if you don't spend your life, how long do we have to live? So he says it's, if you don't spend your life, your precious moments, precious minutes, precious hours, precious days of your life running after luxuries, running after Olam Hazeh, so then you spend it appropriately. Uvamesha din nosein, v'im lo, and if I'm not rich, you say to yourself, nestapek b'mazon, so I have a, we call it a roof over my head, I have food on the table, v'lon etztorech el zulaso, and I don't need to expand my horizons. I'm fine the way it is. So I never walked out of my shchuna. We're all guilty of it. You know, we want to expand our horizons. We want to expand opportunities. We want to see things. We want to experience things. And we kid ourselves that it's a mitzvah. And not. Oz yishover hayetzer v'yinogeth. If you get the Yetzirah used to minimizing Olam Hazeh and maximizing Olam Haba goals. Okay, we'll stop here. Yes?
I'm hearing a lot of things that Raven and I very truly, and I just see that no matter where you are, what other things you might strive for in life, very, very essentially you always have to strive for your serenity and to be at peace on many levels and have your, okay, I want to kind of be my own shiver, but I also think that we have a key that's